Hey, Richard. Hello.
Hello, Jake. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm good. So you hear me well then, eh?
I can hear you well enough. I guess that's going to be an issue. Like, the speaker is not very loud.
Hang on. Let me see.
It's my speaker is not loud.
Okay. Can you look at that then?
Yeah. Give me a sec here.
Yeah.
Okay, say something now.
Do you hear me well now?
I do, yes.
Excellent. I hear you very well.
Oh, good. Here comes Glenn. Hey, Glenn.
Hello, Glenn.
See him. Are you there, Glenn?
Hi, guys.
Hello, Glenn.
Yeah, I didn't have sound there for a minute, but I've got you now.
Okay. Oh, here comes Richard. Robesco.
Hey, Robesco. He's got a bit of a stunned look on his face.
Can you imagine, guys? We're looking at our each individual caves.
Yeah. Well, I didn't dare set it up in my cave because it's yeah. So this is our TV room. This is a painting by my wife.
Oh, very nice.
I'm impressed that none of us are still in our pajamas.
Well, I'm not going to stand up. Toi, Richard, est-ce qu'on t'entend?
Okay.
Parfait.
Hello.
Yes? Sound is good?
It's okay. It's a bit muffled. Your sound is not sharp.
Okay. Let's see if I can fix it.
You know, I'm gonna run away for just a minute. I didn't think of this, but I'm gonna get my hearing aids.
Yeah.
And here comes Raymond. I'll be right back.
Hey, Raymond.
Est-ce que mon son est meilleur?
Un petit peu mieux, Richard, mais il est un petit peu bas, on dirait.
1, 2, 3, est-ce que c'est mieux?
Ça, c'est superbe.
Excellent.
Toi, Raymond, tu nous entends-tu? Je vais lui téléphoner parce que je dirais qu'il ne nous entend pas.
Ah, il se connecte à l'audio, là.
OK. On va attendre.
Je suis ici.
Bravo.
Ah, it comes up, yeah.
Excellent. Here comes Rena from New Zealand.
Wow. Oh, it's been a while.
Yeah. You know Rena?
Yes.
Yes.
That's about...
Hello.
Hello, Rena.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. Just having my morning cup of coffee at the far end of the world.
Uh-huh. You said it's 7 a.m. there?
That's right.
Well, welcome.
And you're not even in your pajamas.
I made a special effort.
Oh, thank you. We were just joking that at 2 in the afternoon we were, you know, here we are in our
pajamas. I've been that.
Nobody showed up yet with them.
Okay.
I didn't put my makeup on, though. I showered today and dressed, but I didn't put my makeup on.
Uh-huh.
So that explains the low light, eh?
That's right.
Hey, so how have you been, Rena?
Well, you know, pretty good. Pretty good. My partner and I have been running a lodge in the far north of the Hokianga, which is in, it's kind of like the back of beyond at the top of New Zealand.
Oh.
In a tiny village with 185 inhabitants in the entire area around the village. And we've just sold, hurrah, because running a village for my partner and I is a bit like Fawlty Towers. Those of you that we're really not cut out for it. But now we have to wait until our lockdown stops before the sale can totally go through and we can move. But it's the most stunning place. It really is.
It's 2 o'clock.
And we just got somebody new. Aha. Michelle?
Yes, it's me.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you, Jake. Long time no see.
Aha.
And there's a gentleman.
Hello.
Hello. Alan.
Yes.
Hey, hi. Yes.
Your face is way off at the edge of your square.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, there you are. Are you on the iPhone?
Yes.
Aha.
Uh-huh. There you're better.
Yeah. So here we go. There, gallery view or speaker view. I expected to see people lined up around the screen.
I think that's speaker view.
Well, you have speaker view?
No, because I get distracted with too many, so okay. I go for the person who's talking.
I expected in speaker view to find people lined up around the edge, but I'm not seeing that. I'm just seeing myself.
Well, I'm running a dual monitor, and I see the speaker on one monitor only, and the rest of you on another one, all spread out in a grid.
Oh,
that's cool. Jake,
yes.
Go to the top of your screen, move your mouse to the top of your screen, go to the right, and I think you'll see some sort of a grid icon.
Yes.
If you click on that, then you'll get the grid of everyone.
Yes, I can do that, but then I lose the speaker view. You know, I mean, it's nice to have the person speaking to be centered as well. I thought there was going to be some combination of it. Oh, here comes Adrian Dewey. Hello, Adrian. Hello, Adrian. You got your voice going?
So, just for my notes here, Alan, what's your family name?
Cameron.
Thank you.
Is Adrian trying to talk and we can't hear him?
Oh, we haven't seen him yet, no.
Oh, okay.
I just have his name up as though he doesn't have a camera or it's not working yet.
I've been in two of these recently, the first time for each of the groups, and every group has these issues, I think.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. I didn't say hello, Ramon. How are you?
I'm taking the mute off. I'm doing fine. Great initiative.
And here we have Jose Gonzalez, a friend from outside the normal group, coming. I'll say hello to him now. Hello, Jose. I'm not hearing you. Oh, you are mute. Or not hearing you or seeing you yet.
So I just spoke with Adrian, and he's saying that he's going to change browsers in order to probably get a good connection.
Okay. So I have to check what's happening with my audio.
Aha, yeah, we see you now. Now Michael Vukovic is joining us. Yep, there he is.
Hey, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, Jake, how are you?
Well, very well. We're getting a view into people's workrooms here.
Yeah, I know. I should have tied it up a bit first.
Well, I couldn't use mine. It was too untidy. So.
Well, I figured the view's not a little bit restricted, so it should be too bad.
Okay, Adrian's back. Aha, there he is.
Adrian.
Oh, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
I can see Jake.
You can see me.
Oh, sure. Adrian's got the fancy studio going.
Hey, Michael is there. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
I see you. Oh, hello there. How are you?
Good.
I'm surprised, Michael, that you don't have VizTech advertising behind you.
Hey, I'm laid off. They don't get any advertising now.
are they laid off now?
Yep. The only people still working in Ottawa are the two managers, Roger and Vincent, and everyone else was laid off.
I've lost. Oop.
Sorry?
Somebody said something.
Was it me?
Jake?
Yes.
Rena here. One thing that helped in the meetings I was in is if when people are not talking, they mute themselves and then unmute themselves when they want to talk. I don't know if that'll work in this, but it was quite useful.
Yes. Have others experienced that?
This is a first for me, so I don't know.
Yeah. It's first with me as well.
Yeah. It seems to me to mostly work to just speak up. And of course you need a little bit of self-discipline, but I think we can manage that. Jane described a meeting like you did, Rena, where people were muted and out. And I can see that in a business meeting or, but as an open discussion, I'm not so sure. What do you think?
I'm okay for trying anything. What can happen is if someone moves and makes a noise as they're moving, that the camera can switch to them because it picks that up. If people are just maybe aware of that, we can maybe just leave it open.
Yeah.
And the easy way to mute is to hit the space bar, I think. Is that it?
Is that true? Yeah. Am I muted now?
There's an icon at the bottom left corner of the screen.
The space bar also works.
Yeah, the space bar is not doing it for me, but there is the button.
The right-hand side, up on the right-hand side, there's three dots. And close to that, you'll see mute.
That depends on your platform. I'm on a computer, and it's in the lower left for mute. The dots are not there. I've seen it on an iPad, too. Well, why don't we start? The topic was photography in isolation. And what have you all been doing? I sent just a few minutes ago, I sent a link to a small gallery of pictures that I've taken the last couple of days. So you're welcome to look at that. You'll find it in your email. We have one more coming. This is Guy Greaves, another friend from outside the normal group. Hello, Guy. Can you hear me? Connecting to the audio, it says. Guy, can you hear me now?
Hey, how you doing, Jake?
Very good.
I hear voices. I'm sure. Do you hear them too?
Oh, yeah. I hear yours, and I see your picture. Do you see me?
No, not yet. Let me go back to my screen. I'm getting on my settings here for a sec. Yeah, there you go. Hey, man. How are you doing, people?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Greetings. My name is Guy. Nice to see you.
We're just going to start. I was saying that I sent a link to a little gallery that I made a little while ago.
Yeah, I saw that from a picture you just shot, week two.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, well, so
very interesting, isn't it? Which episode of Star Trek are we in? Oh, hang on, that's a clone. Are there real people here, please?
Yeah. So the topic of the day is photography in isolation. Just wanting to ask what we're all doing.
Makes sense. Oh, sorry, I just cut you out. Sorry. There you are. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. So, was that a question to me, or I'm not sure?
No, it's for anybody to take.
May I have a crack? There was in Montreal, there was going to be the International Festival of Films on Art in Montreal that was put online. Today's the last day. I was planning to go to Montreal. I had a list of films to see. So I picked up that list and I watched about a dozen of them online. Some that were on the original program did not make it online, but there was a very, very nice selection. It's the one they left. You had to chip in $30 to watch any movie for the whole 12 days. Some notable films. There was a film called Elliot Erwitt's Silence Sounds Good, which is basically a film on Erwitt by a young colleague of his. It was pretty fascinating because it took us back to early days of photography. Up to quite recent, because I think Erwitt is still alive, but he's very old, he's in 90s. So that was pretty good. Another interesting movie was, I'm reading my list here, was Beyond the Bolex, which was the story of the Bolex camera. And that was made by the granddaughter of the inventor of the Bolex camera. Who was a tinkerer with cameras and various devices, picture making devices. In fact, he had a business that made the reflex camera in the 50s, which I didn't know at all. The company got broke somewhere in the 50s, early 50s, so I even didn't know the name. But that was pretty fascinating as a story of an inventor. And these were the two most significant photography-related movies. And I'm going to stop here and I'm going to let other people. I have one more thing to say later, but I am going to leave the floor to other people.
Could I just clarify, did you say that this is still on for a few more days?
For today.
Today.
Yeah. Now, I just saw something. I think now if you chip in today, it's like $15 for the day or something. And I'm not too sure when the day ends, maybe midnight or something. But anyway, it was very interesting. I spent a lot of time just watching those movies.
And can you tell us the link?
There were features, you know, 90-minute features. Some were like the classical 52-minute documentaries.
No, a link to find them. A link.
Oh, the link. Sorry, I heard the link. Well, do a search on FIFA art.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Cool. Interesting. Did you ever see the documentary on YouTube about a Canadian cinematographer from the National Film Board who went to Cuba during the revolution?
Yeah. Yes, yes.
It was fascinating, eh? And he left his camera there?
Yeah.
And the camera is now a relic or a bit of a shrine. If you climb the mountains in I don't know which part of Cuba, I'd be making it up, where the revolution happened and they were up in the mountains, he did a great film, and then the camera is now a relic up there. You've all seen it. It's kind of cool.
What are you talking about?
I'm online talking. What's your thoughts?
I ran across an interesting, something you might want to look at on the New York Sunday Times today in the arts section. They've got a list of 10 super podcasts for artists in isolation. And you go down the list. These are all free, and it's easy. You don't have to have a subscription to the New York Times right now. They're offering it to free to anybody for, I think you get 6 views or something like that. And it's interesting. The one of them is one of the podcasts is by a woman, the professor of art in the UK, and she calls herself the detective of art. And she goes and has a series of podcasts on examining various pieces of art and the stories around them. You know, none of them that I've seen or heard so far have touched on photography. I'm waiting to see that. Most of these have been like painting and sculptures, etc. But it was quite fascinating, actually.
Nice, nice. I was watching some video on the New Yorker website. It's quite interesting. It's an interesting time to be a documentary video maker on the streets of New York, you know?
But what has your photography been like in these isolating times?
Me?
Or anyone?
Sure. I was preparing for a show in Cuba, I think I mentioned to you, Jake.
Yes.
I was going to do a show in Havana, which I was quite looking forward to. And I was going to bring the pictures down myself because that's the best way at this time to get pictures to Cuba. So I've been prepping a bunch of pictures for that, with that in mind, having not really spoken to the curator except an email once. It was a little random, but that was had my focus. So after that, I'm now looking at, I have a bit of a series. I have a bit of a show. What do I do with it now? But that had me sort of wrapped up. So what I'm doing personally is I'm going back to video. I'm archiving all the old video I have because my machines are gone. I have 8mm Hi-8 machine, and my good Hi-8 machine just died on me, an industrial machine. So I'm while the machines are working and the rubber's not died and the bands and brakes are going giving up on me, I'm trying to actually spend this time in a business-like way, transferring a few videos every day, mostly family stuff and some stuff I shot back in the 80s and 90s and such. So that's got me kind of busy, hoping the machines don't die. So, yeah, I don't know. That's the photography I've personally been working on. Video, wise in photography, that show was kind of there. I was have some pictures waiting to be picked up down in Bank Street, but I guess that won't happen for a little while.
Yeah, everything's in abeyance.
Yeah.
I was lucky. I got I'm bringing up a new computer, and I got all the parts, and I think I got the screen. It was the last time I went into to buy anything at a tech store. Like sometime early last week, I got the new screen. I got all the parts. I've got most of the software in now, and now I just have to make a space part and actually move it into my workstation.
Nice.
It's been a good isolation effort, you know, and searching up things, and it's like I think I've got about 20 terabytes hanging on it now, where I'm drawing stuff onto the main computer. And then, and otherwise, I have this dance project, and last week I finished up the interviews with the dancers and the choreographer. It was actually like I did the first one in person in a coffee shop, and I did these last two by telephone, recording onto another iPad, and it is so much clearer that way. The coffee shop sucked.
Isolation is good for sound.
The isolation.
If anyway.
Jake, may I speak?
Yes.
Okay. So, in terms of what I'm doing these days, I'm doing a few things, but just to focus on one, I've signed up to the Magnum course by Alex Sott, who did Mississippi, Niagara. He did one in Bogota. And I find it very interesting.
I signed up for that course as well.
You did?
Yes. I'm enjoying it too.
You too? Okay. So basically, just for everybody else's perspective, and please join in, Mike. The course is very well done. You have for each of the 19 lessons, you have a some sort of a PowerPoint presentation. In the PowerPoint presentation, there are multiple links, i.e. I can spend an hour and a half per lessons easily. One example is he makes reference to a presentation that I can't pronounce his name, but he's one of the MoMA director of the 1960s, Sarkozy.
Yeah,
correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Did a, Sarkozy, who did an exhibition on mirrors and windows, which is a way of describing the way that each of us photographers could relate to in terms of our view of photography. So, and his videos are very good. If you go through the PowerPoint and you go through the links and then you listen to the video, it sort of wraps up what he's trying to tell you. So I love it. It's about $150 Canadian. That's what I paid for. So anything to add, Mike?
No, you covered it. I enjoyed it very, very much. I also did the street photography one. I actually finished the street one, and I'm just going through the Alex one now. But they're all well-done productions.
And they're available.
How much is it? How much is it?
I said 150 for me, Canadian.
I think it was it's 100 US, if I'm not mistaken. So yep. 300 Canadian. Although that might be better. Than
today.
Do you have the link to them to those courses?
Magnum Photos. I can quickly check. I think it's magnumphotos.com.
If you do an Alex Sott / Magnum course, you'll get multiple videos, short videos that give you a flavor of some of his videos that are included in his actual course. And it might give you an idea. But right now I'm working on a project of my Les Sœurs de la Charité. You may refer to them in English as the Grey Nuns. And Michael Tardioli suggested that I look at Alex Sott's material, and it is very interesting to look at that and try to relate it to a project that I want to do.
Thanks for the tip. Appreciate it.
Cool.
And it is magnumphotos.com and under their Learn section.
So that's it for that one, Jake.
Okay.
I've been doing more stuff with, I hate to say it, stock photography. I'm working on my wife's website now that I have a bit of time, I'm dedicating it to my wife's online business because she also had to close her store. So we're trying to at least get a little bit of revenue coming in just through her online store. So I've had to use stock photography. Although tomorrow I am going to go and do some better or some more images of the actual shop. So I get to do some at least commercial like photography.
Yeah, there's a lot of activity in online business because what else do we have?
Exactly.
What kind of stuff are you doing, Mike?
She's got a Shopify store. So what we're going to do is I want to polish it up a little bit. And it's something I've been meaning to do for a while. And A, now I've got the time, and B, now I've got the, you know, I guess the sticks behind me to try and get it going a little nicer, a little better to what I would like to see it at. So using a lot of stock images for, you know, doing things like services. She has a spa, so it's so much easier to do stock photos than try and bring somebody into the spa and take the photos now.
How do you like using Spotify? Or it's not Spotify, but Shopify.
I think from a back-end perspective, I think they're probably really good. That's the last thing I want to do is get involved with any of the programming side of things. I don't mind working with the design and the look, and they seem to be one of the stronger ones for offering an online store. It's cost-wise, I think we pay something like the equivalent of $30 a month. I think we do the annual subscription. So it's US dollars, even though they're based here in Ottawa, they charge US dollars. But the actual, all the other parts of it work quite nicely.
That's good to know. Thanks.
Oh, if I may. So you could have a really nice art page or an art yep. business through Shopify for $30 a month.
Yep.
With really good
actually
support and stuff. That's pretty cool.
You could probably even get a, depending on what you want to do, they also have a Facebook version. So if you okay. wanted to go just Facebook, I think you can get it for like $20 a month. And yeah, you can sell anything. And they're relatively quick to pay. I think they hold on to the money for a few days and they release it to you. And I believe you also get discounts with shipping through Canada Post if you use their Canada Post module as well.
Oh, interesting. Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to create an online shop, it really is a good way to go.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mike, what's their fee? Like you pay the $30, yeah. but do they charge you per sale then too?
Correct. I think they're the same as everybody. Let's say 3 cents or 3% for credit card fees. You know, we'd prefer to do things more through our regular, because I think it's like a percent and a half through yeah. mm-hmm. through our the regular business, but 3% is not too bad.
No.
I think there also is a 30 cent per transaction charge as well.
Okay.
The other thing, like for my own business, with my learning spot that I've been sort of, it's now on hold, but I'm actually using WooCommerce through WordPress. And I set up a Stripe account for that. And that seems to work fairly well, too. And you can sell anything. You can set up your own photo art business as well, which is something I'm going to explore as well during our nice long holiday that we get.
Yeah.
You're lucky. It's a holiday.
I'm calling it that. Well, I've got almost 4 weeks of vacation accrued, so they asked if I wanted to go on EI right away or take my holiday, and I said I'll take the holiday now. It's a little bit better than the EI. So.
Yeah.
Fortunately or unfortunately, I still would get to work full time from home. So.
Hmm. Yeah, I was working full time actually, even remotely up until Wednesday, but I guess they just felt that there wasn't enough business. A lot of our clients weren't answering emails either because they're off in isolation too. So yeah, just all make the best of it.
Pretty much, eh?
Yep.
Make it up as we go, I'm afraid.
But exactly.
I guess for the creatures of habits, it's pretty good because But if not, I better make some new ones, I guess, to follow. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I find almost to a degree I'm a bit overwhelmed with the things that are available for me to do. So, like, I've been ODing on webinars on photography, and I mean, everybody's now, it's like you're getting swamped with emails. You know, of course, they're trying to sell you products, but I just had to leave one by Joel Grimes to come onto this. He'd started at 1:15, and when I look at my calendar for this week, I've got 9-10 of them booked.
Have you ever been this busy, right?
I said, I got to quit this and do something else. You know?
And you're retired. You can do this all the time.
Yeah, sure.
I've got a folder going called Pandemic Distractions. But haven't booked too many things.
I think the only thing I found is every now and then I'd say, oh, I'd like to go. Oh, I can't do that. Like, I got to get another ink cartridge for my printer. So it's not the type that's readily available. So fortunately, I know a couple of people that could give me a connection.
right.
That, but I ordered ink from Epson and I got it within 48 hours.
So. Yep.
Yeah.
So you guys are doing okay. You can afford ink.
Well, we can't afford not to, because if we don't keep our machines going, they're going to die too.
Yeah. Oh, true, eh? Yeah. Anticoagulants for ink printers during this time. There's a business.
There we go.
have you tried your blood thinner in your... I notice your reds are much, much richer. blood thinner, I think.
I hooked into a thing the other day called Next Door.
And it's Next Door.
Next Door. Okay. And it's a generally sort of a neighborhood strengthening thing. But in these times, it's become a place for people to ask for what they need, which is, you know, right in the same line. It's just a little more focused now. So just thinking about, you know, like, I think you could put the word out for an ink cartridge and it might show up.
Oh, okay, nice.
Would it be free? I'd word out pretty quickly if that was the case.
You'd have to work that out. But
$120 for the small ones for me per cartridge, I don't know.
Yeah, right. But if, you know, I mean, people have stuff, you know, and people are asking for it, you know, when they need it. It's sort of interesting to watch.
Yeah. Well, you got to hope the community rises for these things. I think it does. So it's kind of positive in that way, for sure, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I find it's a good time to make up. To try and get lost in the moment is still so important, isn't it? to get lost in your art, whatever way you can. So I'm turning to music a bit. I find I can throw on a recorder and grab a guitar and get lost in it. And then I have, of course, captive audience to send it to, my children. So that's, you know, that's a very small market, but that keeps me kind of lost in that moment, and that's, I find, pretty important, you know?
I went shooting 2 days ago. The great thing about shooting outside is that you don't have to meet anybody.
Yeah, good point.
You're just on the streets, and the streets are pretty empty, but not completely, really, but you don't get close to anyone. For the last many years, probably 7-8 years, I started a long-term project in trying to bring the spirit of haiku Japanese poetry into photo, audio, and video. Okay. And I've been trying various things. I was mentored by a poet who is a master of haikus, and I tried many things. I think I was reasonably successful with videos. I have something like between 30 and 40 small 1-minute videos that I did a couple years back. But I really struggled hard in trying to bring the spirit of haiku into photography. And I think it all came together about a year and a half ago when I decided to do three by one panoramas, and you can immediately picture the three square portions of the panorama as being equivalent to one verse of the haiku. And the whole question is, how do you turn that into a reasonable visual proposal? It changed a lot over the years. I use a panoramic head, and I take six pictures that I stitch on the computer with PTGUI. It works really, really well. It's quite technical, but once you master it, it's quite doable, it's quite reasonable. But what
Hi, Alan.
40 minutes was up. I'm back.
Yes. I forgot to say something about that. Okay, I've got three people waiting.
Yeah, my wife warned me about that one.
Uh-huh.
Hello. Yeah. Hello, Jake.
We're getting there. Sorry, I forgot to say something at the beginning. I guess you all knew what to do.
We are back.
Yeah, we had our 40-minute timeout, eh?
Yeah.
So we have another 40 minutes?
Yeah, it turns out on Zoom for free every 40 minutes. It kicks you off.
So we were 12, Jake. I sent you.
Yeah, we're missing the two ladies. And
then Guy is there?
Yes. Oh, here's Rena.
How much is the
pay? Rena, sorry about that.
I guess you Rena guys back. Exceeded the 40 minutes.
Yes.
Do we get another 40 minutes now?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a text from you, Richard.
Is the picture okay, Jake?
Oh, yes, it is. Thank Perfect. You. You took a picture of the screen. So you were right in the middle there, Raymond.
Yeah, I was. I'll conclude quickly. I was saying that because I take six pictures, and those six pictures are taken over a period of time, because I end up with a lot of pictures. Like for one panorama, I can have 100 pictures or something. Mm-hmm. And I take all of this, and I choose for each of the positions. I choose which event I want to have in the picture. So I can generate quite a few panoramas from the same set of 100 pictures. But the key thing is that I can only shoot, I found out the hard way that I could only shoot when it's overcast, because I don't want shadows. Shadows move in 2 minutes, in 5 minutes, and you can't stitch anymore. So I have to wait for overcast days, and as it turned out, they were very rare last summer. So I was watching the weather forecast this week. When is it going to be both cloudy and dry? So I found a three-hour hole earlier this week, and I went out to shooting. It's a pretty long process. I started about a year and a half. I have, at this point, 10 panoramas that I've completed. Actually, I've completed probably 25, but it's only 10 that I found deem of interest. So I'm going to keep working on this. I think I found my, after a lot of experimentation and false starts, I think I found what I want to do and the aesthetics I want. And just watching how things go over the next few weeks and watch for overcast days to make sure I have the soft light that I need to continue my project.
Good for you. Good for you.
I missed something there. You're stitching pictures taken at different times. Is that correct?
Yeah. It all has to be, the geometry is very, very demanding. So it's a panoramic head, and I take pictures without moving anything. As soon as my tripod moved by, 2 millimeters, it's off.
Yeah.
So I stand somewhere, and there are 6 positions that I that are measured on the panoramic head, and let's say in position 2, I can do multiple shots depending on who passes in front of me, which R passes in front of me, and so on and so forth, right? And yep. Then I assemble, and the panorama I end up with is anything but a snapshot. It's completely made up picture.
Yes.
But the stitches are completely invisible, and there's not like one event. That panorama doesn't capture one event. It captures possibly up to 6 different events.
Yeah. Okay?
But they all happened within the 5, 10, or 20 minutes I was there standing behind my camera. Mm-hmm. That's how it works.
I've had a lot of fun with panoramas in events where things are quite dynamic, and doing something similar, although not with your focus, I think, but they end up being rather interesting. People moving through a space and anyway. I can imagine. I can't wait to see these.
Yeah, it took me a lot of time to get the technology right, because it's quite, it's not really complex, but it's complicated. And I have a list of page and a half. There's a list of all the things I got to check. Make sure my camera is set up right, my head is set up right, because otherwise when I get back to my computer, the stitching is just not going to work.
Are you stitching strictly left and right, or up and down, or a combination of the two?
In this project, I'm stitching left and right, but I did some project was stitching up and down. Now,
have you ever thought of just using a tilt shift lens?
No.
Okay, because I've been doing panoramics myself that way, and I found there's a lot less worry when you're using a tilt shift, because you literally just move the lens along, and that's working quite well for me for panoramic work.
Yeah, people in the past, I've been seeing the panoramas that Jeffrey James took. He had, I believe, at least 2 different panoramic cameras in his life, and basically it's a rotating lens and a curved back. And it was film based, so he was putting his film on this, I don't know how it works, but on the back of this round body, and the lens was rotating as he was shooting. And I believe he had 2 different cameras working that way. That's another way of doing it, but the way the panoramic head works is like you have effectively a virtual round sensitive surface, because as you turn the camera, then the back of the camera goes around a portion of a circle. So I believe that would have to be checked, but I believe that you end up with something very, very similar. except that in my case, because I take those six shots over a period of time, I can do this assembling, creating a picture that of something that never happened really.
Talking about panoramas, I've had fun playing with the iPhone panorama option. And like in one instance, I would be scanning some friends at a table and I ended up having three times the same person in the image.
Yes.
But I have an image here. I'll try to show it to you that I took. And that's another example of, can you see?
Yeah.
So by using again the panorama, I was able to create the illusion of a building as if it was it went under the effect of a earthquake, sort of. Mm-hmm. So all you do is you play. So instead of doing the so-called the wipe, you know, from left to right, jig the camera a bit. And you'll see it makes some really, really weird things. So I was impressed with this, eh?
I'm impressed too. That's something I feel I can do almost immediately. I really enjoy hearing about that.
So what about Mr. Dewey? What have you been doing, Adrian?
Take it off of mute. Can you hear me? Am I there?
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I could, because I'd followed some instructions and took the mute directions so that I wouldn't be interfering. Yesterday was actually my very first day off in a very long time. I've been incredibly busy. One of the jobs that I've had on an advertising side was the last month I've been doing work for company out of Montreal that produces the sterilized kits, the forensic kits, the testing kits, and so forth.
Ah.
I've been very busy doing that. School, of course, is closed. But I've started a new project. A few years ago, I did something called the Foundry Reassembled, working with wooden artifacts and then just reassembling them to give different shapes, different meanings to them. And I've been working with a welder. I took a welding course last summer. And this guy, Jack, has an incredible amount of old, rusted metal pieces. In fact, a field full of them, set up on tables and so forth. He camps there in the summertime and gives courses if you want to go learn how to weld. And so I have a pile of rusted stuff. I'll be getting more from him. So I started just playing with that. That'll be the next series, something that's easy to do now. It's a lot of fun to reassemble pieces and give them kind of a new shape, a new meaning. I really enjoyed the wood, and I'm not as close to the feeling with metal. And so I took this welding class. It was a lot of fun. I'm a little more, I'm comfortable. I have a wood workshop here, very comfortable working with wood. Waxes, stains, that kind of stuff. But metal was a little bit of a foreign piece for me, so I wanted to get closer to it. So I did send out an image to, I see one member here from the Still Life group. So I sent out just a test image because in that class we had been talking about backgrounds. And I was curious about these photographed backgrounds of cement. I make my own backgrounds out of cement, but they're heavy. I like them because they're authentic, but I'm thinking it's not easy for everyone. So curious, I had one of these sent in and it came in on Friday. So I tested with it. It was the first time I had a chance to do some playing in a while. I was really enjoying it. And so this is actually, essentially what it is. It's a photograph of concrete. And if put this photograph on thin plastic, laminated it. What do you think of it? You saw the result. What do you think? Did that work?
Oh, it looked good. I think it would work. And a lot easier to store in my house.
No kidding. So that was a lot of fun working with the metal and that backdrop. I'm looking forward to getting back to the Still Life group. It's a 10-week class. We only had 8 of the 10 classes. An amazing group, a really good group. So hopefully in the next little while, we don't know when yet, we'll get back together and finish up. We have some diptychs to do and some self-portraits in Still Life, which is the ultimate project in here.
Good.
And that's what I've been working on.
So the self-portrait?
Oh, and the diptychs.
Good, good for both. You. Yeah. But for me, I'm just enjoying, this is a day in the studio for me where it's just a pot of coffee, some nice music, and some rusted metal. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. Jake, I'll send you an example. You can send it out to people.
I was going to say, can you show us something?
Yeah.
Oh, I can, well, you can see the set, actually. The set's behind me.
Okay.
But rusted metal is actually fun. It has a nice feel to it. And we're trying to imagine what some of these pieces, they're all disparate pieces, what purpose did they serve originally? And then you bring them back together, you reassemble them, and they become something entirely different. And you can put all kinds of things in them. It's a lot of fun to do, actually.
Guy here, Adrian, I love what you're saying about rusty metal. It's such a beautiful texture. That's a bit of my fascination with Cuba, is that yeah. rust, that degradation. I have a friend I met there, an artist who, for 3 years I met him, and fortunately for him, he's managed to meet a lovely woman and move to Atlanta, and he lives there now the last 4 months. But he works with found metal objects. That's his medium. From the streets and the beaches of Havana and all over Cuba. And Havana is where he gets inspiration from the people and the movement in the streets. And to see what he does with reconstructed metal, making things like cars, but also houses, three-dimensional buildings. And the nature of the rusty metal is it's a mirror image of what Havana is. So it's a wonderful medium. I can see why you're having fun with it.
It's a lot of fun. Actually, I still have some rusted metal pieces that I'm opening that I brought back from Cuba and Mexico. It's really getting over the border sometimes, because as they look through your stuff, they see, you know, these odd pieces of rusted metal in plastic and stuff, but I haven't lost any yet. They've all made it through here to the studio from other places. It's a lot of fun to work with. If anyone wants this summer, if everything is okay, I'll go out on an excursion over to Jack's place, where we'll do a picnic and just pick up some rusted metal. He's a great guy. He's a retired welder, and he turned himself into an artist. And he gives workshops, and he does outstanding pieces. They're just things I've never seen. He's a wonderful imaginator. He's a great guy to be with.
Really nice.
If you want to do that sometime this summer, if we can do that, we'll go out and have a picnic with Jack.
Sounds like fun.
Great.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Saran wrap ourselves for safety and, you know, a couple of holes for the eyes and nose. Hope it's not too hot. I don't want to be shrink wrapped, but.
No. Okay.
So it sounds like a nice offer.
Yeah. And Jake, thanks for this. It's nice to see everybody. It's a great initiative.
I really appreciate it too, Jake. Thank you very much. Nice to meet all you people.
Oh. Yep. And it's actually able to make it because it is doing it this way. Sometimes I can't always get out on a Sunday doing other things. So it's nice to be able to participate even just this way.
Yeah. And Rena hasn't made one in years.
Yeah. Rena, I haven't seen you since you left for New Zealand.
It's just so wonderful to see all these familiar faces.
Welcome back to Ottawa.
Yeah, it is. It is like that. I still get the SPOW newsletter things and that, but yeah, it's really nice. Hey, I have something I could talk about if people are interested. I've been out of photography for a while, and I decided to go on John Hallam's Oaxaca experience, and I could talk briefly about that. If people are interested.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So I looked at it because I've been thinking, what do I want to do with my photography? And in particular, what do I actually have anything to say? And so that going on this was an attempt to answer that question for myself. And before I went, I got very sidetracked into buying a new camera, which just took all of my energy for about a month and doing all the comparisons. And, you know, now I can't even remember the name of the camera. But at the time, it was incredibly important that I get this new camera for this trip. The experience itself with John, I really found fruitful. It was both fun, full of really good Mexican food, and really good conversations with the small group that went. And wonderful to have John's feedback through it as well. And in the end, I did what I usually do. I kind of went, oh my God, postcard type shots. Okay, I know I can do those. I can do them quite well. I don't want to do those. And it took me a while then to move beyond that process to finding a series that I wanted to go with. And any of you who are familiar with my photography, it ended up being a series on a giant tarpaulin over a building site, a three-story tarpaulin that I went back and photographed at a variety of times. And it for me, it was about the unseen Mexico, this, and the backdrop of the tarpaulin as something that moved and shifted, and things happened in front of it or around it. So it was a constant. And I got as, by the end of it, I thought, okay, I've got enough for a series. But I don't quite have the finances yet to get the new computer to go with the full frame camera and the printer that I would really want, because I love printing. And so they're all sitting in my camera, and every now and then I will go back and look at them. And I had some ideas about how I could, if I did an exhibition at some point in the future when this is kind of over, of projecting the images onto material that would also move. So it sparked me and got me going, yes, you know, I think I do have something to say. So it was very worthwhile for that, and incredibly enjoyable at the same time to go on it. If something in the future happens again, then I would recommend it.
If you were to do something like that again, would you prefer to research a possible topic in advance or figure out what your project would be once you get there?
Once I get there. I would never have done a tarpaulin if I had researched out in advance.
Do you think about printing on canvas or on a cloth?
I thought almost a gauze, but a giant gauze. Maybe having spills, a giant piece of gauze, so that the projection gave the sense of the magnitude of the tarpaulin, and so that it could move a bit. I mean, this, it might all change. And then maybe have the stills around it as well in a space, but with this projection as a central feature.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you found something.
Maybe.
Good for you. I took a moment and grabbed an example of the recycled material I was telling you about. Would you like to see that?
Sure.
Sure.
Lights on, I think. this here, this fellow's name is Willie Perez Mendez Perez. And this is an example of his work. All found material on the streets of Havana and Cuba. So this is a car. He found a fork he added to it. Give a little bit of a character. Sort of an abstract thing. But that's found metal, and it's a beautiful colors and the texture when you look close to it. It's kind of crudely welded, but very much what you'd see in Havana, old cars, with a little imaginative extension. So kind of fun. This is the fellow who would not work within the government parameters because he doesn't do what's called traditional art. So that's found metal. And in the same vein, this fellow takes paint chips from the buildings in Havana, chips them off, and then recreates pictures from paint chips.
Mm. Wow.
Another medium one wouldn't think of, but kind of fascinating. Willie Mendez Perez, wonderful artist. But as we were talking metal, I thought I'd show it to you. Yeah. I had to admire his enthusiasm for being creative in that world he was in, where you have to find everything. His paints were street paint from guys painting markers on the road, and he welded from whatever he could find, and quite wonderful to see someone with that kind of creative flair, you know? Anyway, that's what that was, old metal.
Right.
That's quite the piece that you're behind there, Jake. It looks like Wizard of Oz a little bit. Big pitch behind you. Is that a painting?
It's a painting that my partner made.
Very lovely. Very, very bright. Very colorful.
Yeah, it's got interesting color. It's a bit certainly brighter than it looks like on the screen. Well, no, it's pretty dark.
Well,
lighting is strange. I thought it would make a good backdrop. My office is not a good backdrop.
Fair enough, yeah.
Jake, I'm admiring some of Glenn's work that I see behind him as well, the black and white.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there we are. Yeah.
I got a question to ask for advice. I my light tracking system uses Solux D50 MR16 bulbs. And I guess they're about 5 years old now. And I'm starting to lose. I've lost three now. They burnt out. They were black backs. So I go up on the Solex website in the United States, and it looks like they're, well, the site's there. When you try to order anything, it just seems to be bankrupt. And this is before the virus hit us, okay? So I'm looking for advice on replacing these bulbs, that are CRI, very high rated, you know, in the 99 field, that give good light things. These are basically, I use them, it's an L-shaped track system I use to hang my images on magnetic strips when I'm testing out from the prints, you know, is the color right, blah, blah, blah. So I'm looking for advice on getting to how do I replace these bulbs with something new, I guess.
What happened to Buchanan Lighting in Ottawa? I've wondered in the past where their inventory went to. Does anyone know? Do you remember Buchanan Lighting?
They're still around, aren't they?
I went to them in the summer last year, but they didn't carry Solux anymore either. And I just attributed to that there was, you know, an agency issue here. But I have a feeling that that's when Solux went belly up, if it's gone belly up. Yeah.
Okay.
I checked with Jim Lamont on that.
Jim. Oh, I never thought. You're right. Right, right. Okay.
Buchanan Lighting might be able to give you some suggestions as well.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Good.
They're still out there, are they? I was wondering. I thought I was driving that neighborhood and they were building new buildings, but of course they are all over Little Italy. But yeah, I must look that up myself because I have old film projector and slide projector. I wouldn't mind getting some backup bulbs for, you know. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they're still in that building, it won't last for more than a couple more years because it's going to get developed right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, good luck. Well, nice to talk to people, I must say.
So we haven't heard from Mr. Robesco. What's he been doing?
Well, I've been working on my backlog of files. I have
80,000 of it.
About 80,000 files to work on.
Yeah,
I'm good for another couple of weeks.
Yeah. You gotta quit going on these trips to Cambodia. You come back with more images than you can process.
I know. But it's been interesting to fire up the printer and print away and start building another portfolio and stuff like that.
Yeah. Anyway, this is the end of travel photography for a number of years, eh?
Oh, yeah.
We'll be sending my drone on trips. That's about it, I think.
I think Richard must have been planning on this. He's got a backlog. He can keep pumping it out for years.
Yeah, I'm good for a couple of years,
One of the things I'm looking forward to is actually going out with my large format camera downtown, because if I'm ever using it in public, I always get people coming up and saying, oh, what's this? What's that? I even had one person say, are you doing a survey of the area or something like that? But now with hardly anybody there, I think I could actually easily go about and do my work without being interrupted.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're warned to stay away.
That's right.
Yeah. You remind me of a guy I saw in Victoria last summer trying to use a sextant. He just bought an antique store and no one leave him alone. What's that?
Yeah. So I haven't had a chance to talk about the project that I've been working on in the last few years. So I just went to get a sample of one of them. So what I've done is taken some of my photography and made infinity scarves with them. Mm-hmm. So going back to Rena's thought of printing on fabric, so this could be something that you could do as well.
Nice. Very nice.
Some food for thought, and that's why I was asking about Shopify and how did you like the product itself, Michael?
Yeah, I think you'll do well. The other thing is their customer support is quite good. They're very keen to make sure everyone has a good experience. It's been a while since I've attended one, and it'll probably be a little while since they do another one, but they used to have regular meetings for people to learn how to use Shopify at their headquarters downtown.
Okay, so I'll keep an eye on that, but it's just food for thought. Instead of printing on paper, I decided to start to print on fabric and see what I could do with that.
Are you doing the printing yourself, or are you sending it out for printing?
I'm sending it out to Mississauga to print, but then I do the assembling of the scarf myself. So I figured out the design itself, making sure that the colors are what I want, et cetera. All the fun parts of printing.
Mm-hmm.
As you probably know, Michael.
Oh, I enjoy that part, and I'm always looking for different substrates. And so that's why I was curious if you were doing your own printing or sending it out.
I've sent it out for now because I don't have a big enough printer, but it is one option to look at one point.
What's your source of fabric when you're printing at home?
I usually print at home on paper. I haven't used any other fabrics or materials at this point.
You used to be able to get a silk. It's been a long time since I've seen it, but you used to be able to get a silk that you can actually run through a traditional printer.
Yeah, I have some from a California company.
Okay.
Well, that'd be interesting.
But it would print on one side of the silk. It wouldn't.
That's right.
Correct.
Yeah. It depends also on the thickness if it becomes see-through. So on the thinner types of silk, you would be able to get it transparent.
Yes.
Maybe a commercial application is people make, you make clothes out of people's photographs.
Well, and that's exactly what I've done, is made an infinity scarf out of my photography. So that's neat stuff.
I love that. That's a great idea.
I remember years and years ago seeing something where you can actually, it came sort of pre-cut, but you can actually print your photos onto silk for ties and make your own tie. And I always thought that is something I'd like to try, but I've never seen the product since.
Uh-huh.
mother-in-law's face on a diaper, that type of thing.
Yeah, we can get creative.
Yeah, why not?
What or, a fun idea. Or spread, deal with the, you know, the new environment, and you could do printing on face mask protection.
Yeah, devices. Absolutely. I keep expecting to see monks howl on a face mask. That is perfect. Yeah. Well. Certainly Alfred Newman belongs on the mask.
I might just share a little bit. Jake invited me over to just observe, let's say, this group, and it was really nice. Thank you, Jake, for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
And nice to meet you all.
You as well.
Yeah. I'm curious, let's say, in this isolation, I've been just walking around and exploring the surroundings. There's such fascinating things around here. And I've been sort of driven towards the trees. I love trees. I love the textures of the trees. I love the way that they intertwine each of them. And I find some fascinating structures that I might want to share. If you want to see a couple of pictures of what I've taken, this is just very cell phone, but it's just observation. But I would love to, let's say, take it to a better photographic quality. But just the observation of these things, which is fascinating. So I might share the screen and show you a couple of images of this. Give me a second.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh yeah, cool.
Yes.
So I'm just laying down on the snow, which is quite comfortable, and just looking at the diversity of all these different things here, which I find is just incredible. Let me just minimize this thing here. And let me see if there's another image. I thought that there were a couple of other images.
And you did that with your cell phone, is it?
That's right. Yeah. No, I was walking. I was not prepared to do anything, but I just looked up and there it was. And I said, well, this is a nice image to capture right now.
On behalf of all camera retailers, I'd say, stop that. No, the cell phones are really great these days. It's amazing the quality.
I think you lost that battle a long time ago.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Let me see if I can share another one here. I'm trying to figure out how to do this here, but give me a second.
Well, I'm curious about how you did it the last time, because I was trying to find a way to share.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going on this one here, so... share. So this was quite a strange one, because in the time of isolation, this wouldn't be allowed to grab onto or to just embrace another. So if you see here. Mm. Quite something.
Yeah.
Mm. Let me see if I can grab the other one here. There's another one here. Oops. Me just probably the last one here. What's happening here? Sorry. Okay, and this one here. So here.
Oh, okay.
So I love the texture of the bark. It's just so attractive. There's so many out there. And the contrast and the panoramics, as you were talking about, and obviously this is not a good quality, but it's just the moment that you just the sky with getting in contact with the nature and so just want to share those different things.
Thank you.
Nice. Yeah, thank you.
And thank you, Jake, again.
You're welcome. You have to tell us how you did that.
I'm sorry?
How did you do that? You go to share screen, do you?
Yeah, go to on the bottom, you share the screen and then you see.
And then you drop a picture in?
Oh, no. It will determine which screen you want to share. So you just select on which screen. If you have multiple screens, then you select which screen do you want.
Oh, okay. I think I get it. I'll try it once there. Okay, that's a cool idea. If I may, does that do it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, because I can't see the thing, but that's all right. I'm on a small screen now. I'm not sure how this works. So to get bigger, no. Oh, there it is, I think. Anyway, I can't quite tell, but that worked, did it?
Yes.
Yeah. I've kind of lost my main screen. I'm in small. You and guys are all in miniature right now. I'm not sure how to go full view. I'm sorry to learn in front of you.
Actually, it's kind of interesting. I've got two screens on my computer.
Here we are. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi. Hello.
Well, it's a bit annoying, but it's workable.
But it's free.
Yeah, I looked at a lot of different platforms, and the one real advantage of this is that you can record. Others you can record too, but you'd have to pay more.
Well, it's good that you can actually, even if we do get kicked off after 40 minutes, that we can just restart again.
Yeah.
It was. I would have thought they'd stop it hard at 40 minutes, and then the meter starts.
Right. Oh, so you guys keep getting slapped out of here too? Eh? Good. It's not personal. No. I haven't told them anything yet. Have you?
No. I'm sure they're figuring it all out. Like they've got so much traffic now. It's like amazing.
Yeah.
Well, it's great advertising for them. You know, it's a friend of mine is looking at doing online workshops as well. And so I sent them the link to Zoom because it does make a lot of sense for what he wants to do, which is something similar to what I'm seeing here.
I did find there's one out of Texas that is much higher quality. Not an awful lot more money. It was something... I forget the name, but I can.
There's another. I don't know if it's they're out of Texas. It's Webex, and they do this basically the same thing.
That's the system.
Them with another organization I belong to.
Yeah,
they have one you got. You all come back now. It's called, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a different one, Glenn.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So.
Did it work when I put a picture there? Because I got cut out.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, what I thought was interesting was it worked. It filled the screen that I'm using most of the time for this. But then when you went to full screen, it put the, I guess, the gallery of everybody on my second monitor.
Oh, yeah, that's what that means. Yeah, and then I couldn't get back to full screen from the small gallery.
Okay.
How did you get back to full screen?
The screen blanked out, so that's when we through the magic of reconnection.
Someone had to die.
We might just one go in the upper part, and then stop sharing, and then you'll be back.
Okay. All right.
Okay, let me try to share a screen as well. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, I see it. Oh, there's
yours. That's one of the panoramas.
All right, yeah.
There were no three red cars at the same time on this road.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, nice.
RMI, you should have just told us you waited there for hours for that happen.
A good 20 minutes. Here you are.
Nice. Great.
It reminds me of the work of another Canadian photographer, and the name escapes me, and the book's too far away from me to see from my desk here. But he did a lot of work where he merged the images, a lot of stitching and overlapping, and seeing the three cars made me think of that.
When you find out, Mike, let me know.
I think it would be nice if there are things we've referred to that, you know, that we don't all have a link that we know. If you put them out in an email or something to
the group.
Okay.
I've been working with Zoom for quite a while, and I don't know if you're familiar with the chat. On the bottom, there's a caption. You can just write.
Okay.
Either to all the group or to a specific person.
Okay. Cool.
Scott McFarland is the name of the photographer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he's someone from the West Coast, I think. Isn't he from Vancouver or something?
Correct, yeah. And I think he lives more in the Toronto area now, though. Okay. I almost had an opportunity to interview him a few years back, but we just never were able to connect.
Yeah, I've seen his work at the National Gallery.
Correct, yeah.
And also
he may be part of the permanent collection there, for all I know. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you get this feeling of, okay, there is something strange in this picture, but I can't quite make it.
Yeah.
McFarlane has this feeling to what he does, yeah.
He had one at the AGO, too, I remember seeing. It was like a seasonal variation, right, across the scene.
He does a lot of that type of stuff. He does a lot of just changing things out. You know, or playing with different times. So there was one series I recall doing where it looked like the inside of a potter's studio, but there was a window, and the window would be what it might have been like 100 years ago, open fields, and then he puts in a busy city or something like that, busy scene inside.
Yeah, I remember seeing I think it was a cactus garden by him. And again, you had this feeling, strange. There's something really strange about this picture. You can't quite figure it out until you realize that the shadows don't match. Mm-hmm. Everything else is fine. Everything else looks real, except that the shadows don't match. Some go left and some go right, for example.
Well, I'm feeling like we're near the end. Anybody else have something they want to say, or
no? Not personally. I really enjoyed the conversation, so thank you.
Yeah, yeah, thank you for doing this. This is great.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Good to see you all.
Thank you.
Do this again.
Yeah, good, great, Jay. Hey.
Yeah.
We will.
And I'll clap at once. Everybody, the focus will be. Okay. Well, have a great. So we'll try and do it again in a month.
Please.
Please. Yes. It's great. I'll tidy my office by then too.
Maybe we can each prepare some pictures to share with each other.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be nice.
Okay.
Okay. Thank bye you. Now.
Good. See you later.
Bye.
Thanks again.
Bye.
I'll be posting on the FAPO site whatever I get out of this. I think. I mean, I've got a sound recording. I've got a video. I won't post that, but. Anyway, we'll see what comes out of it. And if people would send their notes, I'll put those in too.
Okay.
Sure. Great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. We're not presentable.
Pardon?
Bye, everyone.
Okay.
Bye. Take care. Bye.
Be well, people. Be well.
Hi, Richard. We're just leaving. Hi, Richard. We just hung up. Hello, Richard.
Can you hear me? Yes.
So yes, we just all said goodbye.
Okay, then I'll say goodbye again then.
Okay. I'll be, if you were taking some notes, were you, or...
Well, I did take some notes, but they may not be very good. But I did take some notes because I appreciate hearing what other people have say.
Uh-huh. But, I'll be posting. There's a couple of fascinating things with this platform. I found one that would take the sound from the recording and turn it into text.
Oh, yes.
There's a plugin for Zoom that'll do that. So I'll play around with this, and I'll put some stuff up on the website, the FAPO website.
Okay. I just I was curious to see what it cost to be a regular, you know, not a free member.
Right.
$20 a month. You may have looked at it.
I did, yeah.
Okay.
I meant to ask. I don't think, what would be different is we wouldn't break all the time. You know, we wouldn't break every 40 minutes. That would be, I think, the only real difference.
So from that perspective, it's not very much because it took just a few minutes for everybody to be back, eh?
Yes.
But may I ask you in terms of what was everyone's general impression?
I think it was very good.
They
certainly said positive things. There was things like nice to see you all, and good to see what people are doing, and so I think it was very positive.
Was it something that people suggested that it could happen again, or?
Oh yes, I suggested that I would put it together again on the regular FAPO schedule. So, which I circulated, it's the last Sunday of the month. So in a month.
So that would be, restaurant or if everywhere are closed, eh?
Yes, right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Super. It was nice to see Adrian, Rene, Rena, eh?
Yeah.
Thank you. The guy Griever.
He grieves, yeah.
Yeah, who is he?
Grieves. He's a retired. He's a former neighbor. He's moved further away now, but I still run into him in the neighborhood. I'm not sure where he lives, but he used to be two blocks over.
Yeah.
He was a worker in television. He was, I don't think a cameraman, but a technical worker in television. And he's always played with imaging in various ways.
Okay.
Imaging and with music too. He's we both go to a yearly folk festival called Blue Skies. So I would see him there every other year usually. anyway, he's an interesting guy. But I don't, he doesn't pursue photography. He doesn't pursue music. He flits around a lot.
Yeah. Men of all trade?
Yes.
Well, I appreciate, like everybody probably said, thank you so much. And maybe you can use the pic.
Use the what?
Maybe you can use the picture as part of your FAPL newsletter.
The one behind me?
No, the one that I sent you.
Oh, okay.
The whole group in action.
Yes, for sure. Yes. Thank you. Okay.
Feel free. So have a good day, JK.
Okay, you too.
Take care.
Goodbye.
How do we turn this off?
Well, I think I can.
You can finish it, eh? I'll just kill the screen.
I can end the meeting.
Super. And I think we keep the same number. Because my sister has us as a family reunion thing.
Okay.
She uses Zoom. And I've had two meetings with her to this day. And they both were with the same number.
Okay.
So see you then.
Okay, doc.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.